For those of you that are new to the church, I am the youth and children's work here. My name is Jamie. I don't usually do the adults bit because I don't like you lot, but there was no one else for it, so I suppose I'd better. No, joke. I love being with you guys. It's great to sort of be with some older generation of young people. That's what I call you. You're all older. You're all young at heart, but old in face. That's what I like to say. Take that as you wish. So I'm now going to talk through a little bit about what I felt God was talking to me when I was reading these scriptures, and hopefully you can get some benefit of that. And so to set the scene, the Israelites have not long left Egypt. They've had the manna from heaven, so they've been fed, and quail. Sorry, there was quail in there as well. And they've had water from a rock, so they've been watered. So they're not completely weary, but you know, they're still a bit ex-slavey, if that's a word. And so they're heading to this place called Rephidim. Some of the intellectuals will tell me I'm saying that wrong, but that's fine. And they were heading to this place, and the Amalekites heard there's some ex-slaves wandering in the desert, prime targets. Now, the Amalekites were ruthless. They would have been bred to be warriors. Their entire generation was just going out and pillaging and raiding and just robbing other towns and cities. Think Vikings of before Christ. That was the Amalekites. And the Israelites were weak in mind and weak in body. They've been grumbling for I don't know how long to Moses because you've led me in the desert to die. Israelites were so dramatic. So they've been grumbling. So they are weak in mind and weak in body, seen as an easy target. And so Moses sees them coming and says, right, we need to do something here. Joshua, some little man Joshua, stands up and he goes, go find me some men. This is the first account we have of Joshua. He's never seen before this, as far as I'm aware. And so it's really interesting that Moses picks him out of all of the people he could have picked. But he was young, and he was ready for the fight, and so he went and picked some men. Now, Moses would have probably, in my mind, again, I may be wrong, but in my mind, Moses would have had some military training. He was in Pharaoh's house for however long before he ran away. And so he would have been brought up in the art of fighting in some way, shape or form, whatever that may have looked like. So Moses would have been the prime candidate to be a general and a leader for the Israelites. But he was 80. Now, I don't know about you. Anyone in here 80 years old? No? Anyone close to that? Yes, yes, we got an 80. How would you feel if I sent you into battle to go and lead an army? Would you feel okay with that? Not these days. Yeah, exactly. And that's what Moses was thinking. Moses is like, I can't do this. So he picks on Joshua to lead. And there's two things that I saw happening here. One was Moses realizing his limits. And two, Moses giving an opportunity for someone else to lead. Moses picks a young man who he sees leadership in and goes, you find me some men. He could have picked the army himself and then put Joshua at the front. But he chose Joshua to go and pick the army. Now, again, there would have been slim pickings, very slim pickings. I think it's not who's the strongest. I don't even think it's who's the weakest. I think it would have been who's got two legs, two arms, and two eyes. Because at that point, that was where they were at. These are ex-slaves. They would have been beaten and battered and bruised over time. And none of them would have had the mindset to go into a fight. So Joshua fought the Amalekites and Moses, as Moses had ordered. Moses then, with Aaron and Hur, go up a mountain, and there's another thing I see in here is Moses can't fight. Moses had an opportunity to just go, you go off, Joshua. I'll wait here and tell me how it goes. Hopefully you can see me on the camera down here. But he doesn't. He goes, I can't fight, but I can praise. And so he takes Aaron and Hur up a mountain, hill it says, sorry, up a hill, and they stand there, and when Moses has his arms in the air, the Israelites are winning, and when his arms are down, they are losing. Imagine being the Amalekites in this situation. Your entire nation is bred for battle. Your entire nation is bred to go and pillage and raid and steal and take. And you come a bunch of ex-slaves who can barely hold themselves together, let alone fight. And yet, somehow, you're losing. It's like, what is going on? I have been training my entire life to fight people 10 times stronger, 10 times harder, sometimes 10 times taller than you, and yet I'm losing. What is going on? And of course, we know that the other hand of that is when they're taking advantage. They'd have known to take the advantage when they're winning. They were a proper army, a tactical warrior race. They would have known that as soon as they're winning, to pile on more armies. And so as Moses' arms tire, the armies would have been weaker and struggling. So Moses grew weary. Heavy is the head that wears the crown. Again, John, if I asked you to hold your arms in the air for, I don't know, let's go 3 days. I don't know how long the battle was, but let's say 3 days. Could you hold your hands in the air for 3 days for me? No, could you? Not you either, yeah. Anyone else? Anyone hold their hands for 3 days? Anybody? No. I don't think I could do it for 3 minutes. That's how out of shape I am. So for 3 days, again, that's not in the Bible, I'm just guessing. But for 3 days, that would be a tough ask. And so Moses' arms start to tire as the battle draws longer and longer on. And so we can see that in sometimes our lives of weariness, when battles are drawing on and times are getting tough and it doesn't seem like there's any hope and arms start to get weaker and weaker. And the other thing is leadership. Moses is a leader. The burden of that. Do you know, his burden of leadership that he's had over the years to lead these Israelites would have been heavy and weighing on him. And you can imagine just thinking, as his arms dip, this is how we lose. This is the point where we give up. This is the point where we stop fighting. God has left us. And the best thing about this is the people around him, and I'll get to that point, but the weakness in that, the heaviness of leadership that Moses must have felt, is astounding. And we can see that in our church currently. For those of you that are full-time members of the church, we know that we've been through some rocky patches over the last few months with our leadership team, and bless them, we love them, and we pray for them all the time. But heavy is that burden to lead the entire church in a direction that they feel God is calling us. So, in that, I just want to say, encourage our leadership team. Yes, think of the burden that they are wearing above their shoulders. It's easy to see hindsight decisions, but please do pray for our leadership team regularly. Going back to the scripture, we have Aaron and Hur, and an opportunity now for them to stand up. And they've got a couple of options here. They could do this. You can do it, Moses! Encouragement. They can encourage him. If I'm holding my hands and they start to tire and someone goes, go on, Jamie, you can do it. I'm like, yeah, I can do it. I'll have a little bit more energy. But the reality is, that's only going to give me about 3 minutes worth of energy more and my arms are coming back down again. If 3 minutes. The other thing they could have done is be like, Moses, what are you doing? You're the reason we're winning. You need to lift your hands up. Oh, don't be so weak. Come on, Moses, you can do it. Berate him a little. Try and challenge him. Maybe see if there's a weakness in him and go, why are you so weak, Moses? Come on. The other thing is just turn their back on him. They could have just gone, we've lost, and walked away. But they don't. They take the initiative to go and fetch him a stone to sit on. And as he sits, as we saw in the illustration, Aaron takes one arm, Hur takes the other, and holds his hands high to the Lord. Who are the people that surround you that can hold your hands high for the Lord? Because those are the people that you need around you when your arms are weary. Those are the people you need around you when times are hard. Those are the people you need around you when you feel like you just can't praise anymore. We have a great opportunity here in church that we have a prayer corner in the back bit, and there's usually two people over there to sit and pray with you. Two people to sit around you and hold your hands high when you are struggling in life. Who do you have around you that can do that? I know from personal experience, sometimes the hardest thing to do when you don't want to praise is come to church. You're like, I'm just so tired. I just need a lie-in on a Sunday. I just don't want to be here. But actually, that's the exact time when you should be here. When life is at its hardest, you need to reach all down and in everything you have, lift those hands to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know what to do, but you do. Lift those hands high. And if you can't do that, even more reason to be at church, because the people around you will be lifting hands for you as well. An opportunity to pray for you, an opportunity to physically lift your hands if that's what you need, an opportunity to just be with you and chat through some of life's struggles. Surround yourself with people who can hold your arms high. For me, my wife is one of those people. My wife does this inadvertently. She doesn't even realize she does it half the time, but I can come home broken on a Friday night. For those of you that have served in our youth ministry, you will know what this feels like. You can come home broken on a Friday night going, I just want to give up on life right now. But she's always there, even when it's 10:30, 11 o'clock, and she's got to be up for work at 5:30. She's always there to say, it's okay, you've got this. The Lord's with you. Little words like that that just help me hold my hands high when I'm just ready to give up. Shout out to my wife, who's on Zoom. Yeah, my wife does that great for me. So who is the person around you that can do that for you? And it's be honest, be raw with these people. You know, Aaron was Moses' brother, as far as I'm aware, and her, a close friend. These are the people that were closest to Moses. These are the people you need around you. Yes, it's great to have lots of friends and lots of family, but have two people that know you in all of your weaknesses so they can hold your hands high. So the Israelites had no right to win this battle. The Israelites were weak, feeble people at the time of this battle. But God was faithful to his people. And Moses realized that he had no chance to win this fight if God wasn't in it. Moses realized that without the hope of the Lord, there is no chance at all to win this fight. And as Christians now, we live in the product of that hope. When Christ died on the cross, the fight was won. The battle was over. Victory was given. You know, it's the same principle. Moses had his hands in the air. Jesus had his hands outstretched. When he shouted, "It is finished," on the cross, that was the end of the battle. The battle belongs to the Lord. And so as Christians, we can take that in our hearts and we can take that in our minds and go, yes, I might feel a bit battered right now. And yes, I might feel a bit bruised. But to lift my hands in praise and call upon the name of Jesus, that's when our battles can be won. I don't know what battles you've been going through today, but we all have struggles. We all have life problems. We all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. That doesn't exclude any of us. And that shouldn't stop us lifting our hands. I want to encourage you today that no matter what life has thrown at you, to lift your hands in an act of surrender, in an act of praise, in an act of worship to the glory that God deserves. Because it is through him we are saved. But what happens when you can't lift your hands at all to start with? I hear some of you might be out there going, that's all well and good when your hands are about here and you just need that extra bit of lift. Or even your hands are here and people around you can give that extra bit of lift, but my hands are here. How do I even lift? And I want to show you a small illustration. So I'm looking for another volunteer. Who can I pick on? Pete, you're right in front of me. Would you mind? You can say no, that's fine. I can pick on someone else. No, that's fine. Malcolm, you'll do. Come on, Malcolm. You can say no as well if you want, but I'm going to be going around the whole church otherwise. Thank you, Matt. Can you just say about him? So, are we good? That's fine. So,
these are, we lost me.
Are we good? Are we good? We're good. Sorry. Here are your life problems, Malcolm. So, give me a life problem. Please don't say your wife. I don't want to have to do counselling. Give me a life problem.
Getting up in the morning?
Getting up in the morning. Here you go. Hold that. Hold that. Hold that high. You're praising the Lord, remember. Right. Give me another problem, Malcolm.
Getting my wife up in the morning.
That'll do. I'll take that. Getting your wife up in the morning. Okay. Give me another problem, Malcolm. You might want to readjust how you're holding these for the presentation.
Well, actually, Julia would share with you, it's When she comes home from helping you with you.
Yes, I agree. That is. So why don't you put them down and hold them by the handles? That might be more helpful. Yeah. So I can add more as we go. Oh, look at this. Man's ready. He's going to prove my illustration wrong right now, isn't he? Can tell. Okay, so let's get them. We got them? Okay, right, here's your other life problem.
Right.
You got that? Okay, and finally, I don't know, let's go with kids. We'll add kids to the mix.
Oh, yes.
Here we go. Right.
And the grandkids.
Right. Now, praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord. Okay, so, thank you, Malcolm. Stay there, don't move. Still going. You might get a sweetie in a minute. So, Malcolm, what are some of the things that you can do to get rid of these burdens?
Oh, I could ask my wife to help me.
Yeah, you could ask your wife to help you, correct. She could maybe, and I'll pretend to be one person. I can help you lift, yeah? But we're not getting there quite, are we? We're still halfway, yeah. And even if another person got, I don't think we'd fully get there.
Eat some more Weetabix.
Maybe eat some more Weetabix. No, but for the illustration,
yes,
we can hand them to Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Go and hand them to Jesus. Right, so we lay all our problems at the foot of the cross when we get there. That's it. Yeah, they were heavy, honestly. He has done great. They were really heavy things to carry. Malcolm, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Give him a round of applause. Hallelujah. Thank you, Malcolm. When you're at this point that you can't lift your arms because life is full of baggage, the Bible says this in Matthew 11. Jesus said, "Come, all who are weary and worn, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." When you take your baggage to Jesus, you can now once again lift your hands. That's why praise is so important. That's why church is so important. That's why fellowship is so important. Because it's in these things we can keep our hands held high. That's why communion is so important. And we're going to come to a time in a moment of communion. But I just want to finish with saying the battle belongs to the Lord. The victory was given to us when Jesus died on the cross. If you haven't come to that point yet, I encourage you to speak to either myself or James at the back or anyone else really that you've seen at the front. Have a chat with us about what this looks like to live in a life of victory. It's not easy, and it doesn't mean that we don't have battles, but it means that we can go into battles with our hands like this rather than our heads like this. We're going to have a time to respond now to those things. I'm going to pray. And what we're going to do is we're going to have communion over here. Usually we have two tables, but it's a specific reason why I've done it over here. What I want you to do is to, when you come to get your communion, there is some bread broken and some individual cups there. When you come to get your communion, there'll be a song playing in the background. And I'm going to open this box here. And in this box are just balls, soft balls. Let me show you. They're not heavy. In fact, they weigh as much as air half of the time. But it's a symbol. Whatever that baggage is that is stopping you lifting your hands in praise, come to the cross, lay that burden down, take your communion, and remember that in Christ we have the victory. Let me pray. Father, thank you for these words that you have given me to share. Father, thank you that this isn't just me preaching, but me receiving as well, Lord. Thank you that you have spoke to me in these things. Father, help me and the rest of us to lay our burdens down at the foot of the cross so that we may win battles of praise for you, Lord. Father, that we may hold our hands high for you. Father, as we come to this time now, we thank you for the breaking of bread and the drinking of wine. Father, we thank you for that symbol of what Christ did. And as we take that, May we remember you and give you all the glory, because the battle belongs to the Lord. Amen.